This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
It's a beautiful morning today. I mean, I wanted to put the top down on the drive-in, but on 94, that doesn't always work on driving in.
Or the sunroof, moonroof, that will work.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but it is a beautiful morning. But you know, Jessica, you had those stories about the motorcyclists. The one passed away and the other was severely injured.
Both were injured. We don't know the status. We don't know the condition of either motorcyclist, but it was two separate crashes in Dodge County.
Yeah, and I think this is a good time to go back to our conversation that we had with Philip Billups. He's a motorcycle safety expert with Cycle Trader magazine.
Well, I think if you don't ride, you know, obviously keeping an eye out, making sure you're checking your mirrors all the time, every time, making sure that you know, you're looking for that headlight. That may just be a single headlight, for sure. So if you're not riding, but if you are riding, one of the top considerations is definitely safety, right? It's always crucial to wear protective gear, helmets, jackets, gloves. You know, definitely can reduce any injury in case you do get into a situation. Invest in a good, well-fitting jacket and a nice DOT-approved, Department of Transportation-approved helmet is just massive, right? And then also staying visible to those other motorists, like I mentioned earlier, you know, asking for folks who are in cars to keep their eyes out. It's also incumbent on the rider, right, to make sure that you're wearing something bright and reflective, using your headlights, adhering to traffic laws, paying close attention to road conditions, and, you know, ensuring you ride within your skill level, right? If you're a starter, don't ride too fast. Don't take curves too quick. And, you know, just being vigilant and smart and prepared is the key to a safe riding experience.
Well, sometimes I've talked with people and they are concerned because they feel that some people on their cycles take a lot of chances, particularly on the interstate. They're kind of swerving in and out of traffic and at a high rate of speed. Drivers in cars and trucks don't always see them quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, well, you're kind of increasing your odds of being in a bad situation on a motorcycle if you just aren't behaving, to be honest with you, right? I think that when it comes to riding, you have to be responsible for your safety as much as you want somebody else in a car to be responsible for safety. And hey, let's be honest, now we got this smartphone thing, right? And we also have all these cars with screens. So you have to be even more vigilant in making sure that you don't take chances and do anything that, you know, would put you in a situation where, hey, look, if you're going too fast and you're speeding up on somebody that's getting ready to merge into a different lane, well, you know, you're kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage and you're actually kind of putting them at a disadvantage at seeing you.
Philip, I know you're a third generation rider. I'm going to ask you a question, and it's controversial among a lot of cycle riders, and that is, why do a lot of them not want to wear helmets?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I've tried it one time in my life. You know, like you said, third generation. I've been riding about 10 years myself. And, you know, close to us, I believe it's South Carolina, that's close to me. I'm here in Virginia. And they allow you to ride without a helmet. And it felt so strange. And I think it's one of those where some people just like to take chances. And, you know, the reality is, there are so many different helmet styles these days that if you don't want something big and bulky, you can find something small. So I think it boils down to, do you just like to take chances? And I'm a bald-headed guy, so I don't have any hair, any wind blowing through my hair. But yeah, a helmet is key. You got to wear a helmet.
What's the most exciting part for you when you get on your bike?
You know, I've got a Harley, ride a 2010 on a 48. And honestly, these days, finishing a work day and just taking a ride, it clears your mind and it keeps you sharp. Right. As we've been talking about safety and being attentive, when you're riding, you have to have your eyes on the road, looking at what everybody's doing. You can be relaxed in doing that, but it does kind of get you going. Right. It's a freedom that's there. And then also, again, being very attentive and understanding what's going around you. And sometimes I like to ride with my friends. Right. That's also exciting and fun, too. Where I'm located, the beach is about 30 minutes away. And then I've also got some country roads. So for me, the exciting part at this stage in riding is being able to clear my mind and just enjoy something that's fun and just not sitting behind a steering wheel.
Well, I know you got a couple of young kids. Do you ever take them out?
Not yet. They're a little too young. You know, my daughter is 5. My son is 9 now. In the garage, they love to sit on it, which used to not be the case. You know, we got a Harley. It's got a couple mods to it. So it's a little loud, but it's kind of loud for a reason. Right. And also make sure that riders can not only see me, but also hear me. But they're getting there. You know, my father rides. My grandfather no longer with us. We've got his old bike. So my son is taking a seat on all of them and he's ridden around the yard with my dad. So there may be some future riders. But right now, they're just a little young.
Well, Philip Billups from Cycle Trader magazine. Thank you so much for joining us today and safe riding to you, sir.
Thank you, Libby.
Boy, if he doesn't sound like a guy you'd expect to be on a motorcycle, I don't know who does. It's 8:12. Well, we've got a busy show ahead. Matt Miller is going to be reflecting on this year's Summerfest. Also, you know, next up this week, it's Bastille Days, and we're going to hear all about it from the head of Alliance Française. Like my accent. All right. Rich Kirchen is also here. He's from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's going to talk about that unexpected retirement of UWM's chancellor. We'll also look back at the week in review. Isaac Marquardt is here pushing buttons. And in just 2 minutes, it's Isaac's with sports right here on WTMJ. We have 71 degrees at 8:13.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk.
2-2 pitch. Fly ball, center field. This is deep. Outman back at the track. Bye-bye baseball! Christian Yelich ties it up in the eighth with a solo shot out to center.
But that was just not going to be enough. The Brewers fell to the Dodgers yesterday 5-3. They get back on the field on the third of three games today in L.A. Brewers warm up with Dominic Catronio starts at 2 o'clock on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Marquardt. Nice job. See, we're not going to call you Isaac when you do sports. We're just going to call you Marquardt. That's a sports name. All right, it's 8:16. As we said before, it's a beautiful morning. Maybe not going to stick that way all day. We'll tell you that forecast in just a couple minutes. And also, we've got Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. He's going to be talking a little bit about the unexpected retirement of the chancellor of UWM. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Well, it's a pretty nice morning. Lots of sunshine out there. The kind of day you want to go out for a nice walk, get you, you know, get motivated. But later on today, we're expecting some scattered rain and storms with a high of 80 degrees. Tonight, more storms on the way, mostly cloudy, down to 67. Tomorrow looks like we do have another chance of those scattered showers, mostly cloudy, 80 for a high. It's getting redundant. Tuesday, isolated showers and storms, partly cloudy, 78. Guess what, Wednesday? Chance of storms. Yep. Okay. Mainly south of 94. It's going to be cloudy with a high of 76. And then Thursday, sunshine and 78 as we wake up around Wisconsin on this Sunday morning. Looks like Butler, you've got 69 degrees. In Hartfield, it is 68. Port Washington's at 67. We have 71 degrees at 819 on WTMJ. We've got Rich Kirchen here from the Milwaukee Business Journal. And did you have a nice fourth?
Yeah, it was great.
Did you do anything special?
Got part of the neighborhood 4th of July parade, which was fun, and caught part of the fireworks. Had a little family time around lunch. Had some relatives from out of town, so that was great.
Oh, good for you. Well, there was a big story that broke on Wednesday about Mark Mone retiring as the chancellor at UWM. Were you surprised?
You know, I have to be honest and say it was not on my radar. That being said, Mark had been the chancellor for 11 years, which turns out that makes him the second longest tenured chancellor at UWM. J. Martin Clatchy, who was the original chancellor way back when, in the 60s and early 70s, was the longest tenure. So, yeah, he's cut a fairly high profile in the Milwaukee area. He definitely reached out a lot to the business community and to potential funders of projects and the university's endowment. I go to UWM basketball games as an alum, men's basketball games, and he would be there. So, he was obviously, he dealt with controversy over the years, most recently with some of the protests on the war in Gaza. UWM has had its issues getting the kind of funding it would like to for projects and just in general from the UW Board of Regents. But they've built a couple or three large buildings or new buildings on the campus during his tenure. So it's been a pretty positive period, I would say.
Any idea who's going to replace him?
I have no idea. He was someone who came up through the ranks at the university. He's been there for a long time as a business professor. So certainly that'd be one place they would look. But I don't know enough about the university structure or politics as to whether they would look internally. I'm sure they would invite candidates from around the country.
With the death of Mike Lovell, I mean, this is changing the landscape of our two biggest universities right here in the city.
Right, and Mike had been the chancellor at UWM before Mark Mone. So, yeah, those two guys have been leading the two largest universities in the metro Milwaukee area, and they do. They play an important role in the local economy and obviously in educating our future workforce. So those are going to be some, big shoes to fill in both cases.
Well, speaking about the economy here in Wisconsin, tell us about this biotech $49 million federal grant?
Yes. So this it's part of the CHIPS Act, the Federal CHIPS Act that Congress and President Biden approved some time back. And, probably not a lot of people even know that there is a biotech health hub, and it's primarily Milwaukee and Madison. And it's aims to develop new technologies in the healthcare space, including what they call personalized healthcare, they're personalized medicine. UW-Madison is involved, MATC in Milwaukee area. GE Healthcare, Rockwell Automation, Exact Sciences in Madison, the Milwaukee 7. So it's a pretty high-powered group, and they want to leverage some of the existing healthcare technology and research for products to commercialize that research and get some new products coming here out of Wisconsin. They're predicting significant economic impact, and I think in the neighborhood of 11,000 new jobs over 10 years. Now, of course, that remains to be seen, but you do have some pretty prominent companies involved here.
Well, a lot of those people are going to be looking for a place to live. And so a lot of eyes are on the Couture.
Yes.
And you were able to talk to the developer and find out who's leasing those high-end units.
Yeah, you can't hardly miss it, especially if you went to Summerfest in recent weeks. It's right there on the lakefront. It's been planned for a long, long time and finally does have some tenants. 10% occupied right now, 23% leased. Surprising to me, the top four or five floors are all but one of the units are leased out, and those are the penthouse units.
Yeah, and those are running for how much?
$8,000 to $10,000 a month.
That's high rent for Milwaukee.
Very high rent for Milwaukee.
Who's in those units?
Well, their target demographics are young professionals. Now, they have some less expensive units for that, as small as 576 square feet for $2,000 a month. Which, again, very high for Milwaukee.
Can't put a king-size bed in there, I don't think.
Two-bedroom units go for $4,000 to $5,000 a month. They're also looking at empty nesters, couples with two incomes and no kids. So it's, obviously people who can afford this kind of thing. And again, there is, if you are interested, Libby, in that one unit that's left in the penthouse area, 1,700 square feet, $8,100 a month.
Whoa. Well, of course, 8,100, not
see,
a problem.
You know,
yeah, okay.
Check your penny jar.
I better check my checkbook is what I better check. Listen, if you're living downtown, though, there is a new vinyl record listening cafe. I kind of like this idea.
Yeah, it's not open yet. It's opening, I believe, in October. It's called The Deep Groove, which I guess refers to the grooves
groove
in a record.
I love that.
And it's going to be on Brady Street, 1200 East Brady, the former Brady Street Futons. And, they're going to have food and beverages, both alcoholic and non, coffee-type beverages. They're saying a pretty amazing collection of music, records that they'll be playing, jazz, blues, country, heavy metal, rock, pop, 70s, 80s. So, now, of course, forever you've been able to go to a bar or a restaurant and there's music playing.
Yeah, but it's all that digital stuff.
Yeah.
And they subscribe to services.
True.
This puts a human element in it.
It does. And, I'm not entirely sure if you can go in there and request something. If you want to hear
Ooh.
Tommy James and the Shondells or anything else, Billy
or
Idol.
Or Birdland or whatever.
Yeah. So, it seems to be a trend here. There's a place called the Wiggle Room on Kinnikinick in Bayview, which is a record-centric bar. That
the Wiggle Room? I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, 2900 South KK if you want to check it out. And then even Discourse Coffee, which has a location in Walker's Point at the Radio Milwaukee building, is featuring vinyl albums also that have grooves in them.
I love it. I love that that's coming back. All right. Speaking of coming back, you've got a report on passengers from that Chicago to Milwaukee to Minneapolis Amtrak, and a lot of people are riding it.
Right. Well, for a very long time, we've had the Empire Builder between Milwaukee and the Twin Cities, and we've had the Hiawatha between Milwaukee and Chicago. This goes that whole route, and it's called the Borealis. And they only had 11 days. We've got numbers from the first 11 days of operation in May, and they said there were about 6,600 riders during
that
time.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Which is a good number considering it's just running a couple times a day, and it's, you know, one Amtrak train set.
Well, finally, there's a new rental car that's coming out of Mitchell International. We see it at a lot of other airports, but first time here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a company from Germany that is called Sixt, S-I-X-T, and it's the 10th rental car company operating out of Mitchell, and just started this month. So another option there at the airport. They're at the rental car center on Howell Avenue.
We look forward to it. Rich Kirchen from the Milwaukee Business Journal, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
It's 71 degrees at 828 on WTMJ. What a great song on a beautiful day like this. Except watch out. Looks like we might get some showers as the afternoon rolls on. Well, as we look back at this week, there was a landmark decision by the Supreme Court. There was an explosion that rocked Walworth County. Plus, we celebrated the nation's 248th birthday. There was so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
An escalator malfunction at American Family Field led to 11 people being injured Saturday.
We got about halfway down the slope of the escalator, and the entire thing shook.
The U.S. Supreme Court has just handed down its decision on absolute immunity. Presidents are immune for core constitutional powers that they have while serving as president.
What the Supreme Court kind of said yesterday is the president is not king, but he sort of is.
So as the kids might say, king adjacent.
Justice Sotomayor, direct quote, this action by the Supreme Court mocks the notion that no man is above the law.
In both cases, the kayaks flipped over due to the fast-moving Milwaukee River and downed trees in the water.
Once their kayaks hit those trees, they pretty much go sideways right away, and then the current pretty much pushes that kayak underwater.
Have you had a look at Northridge lately?
Where once stood shoe stores, jewelry shops, and sporting goods outlets, now sits smashed glass. There's a strong smell of mold, standing water all over the place, as well as remnants of those past fires.
It's enough to make you want to go to Northridge to take a look.
Jamaica and the Cayman Islands now are on high alert this morning.
Monday night, Beryl intensified into a monster Category 5 hurricane.
Breaking news, an explosion just leveled a home in the town of Lafayette.
It looked like the house when the house exploded, most of it laid down into one side of the basement, and that's where the gentleman was found, was on the one side of the basement where the majority of the rubble was.
After careful consideration with my family, friends, and colleagues, I'm announcing today that I will step down as chancellor at the end of the next academic year.
Don't do that, baby. Baby, don't do that.
Inside into a chaotic scene outside a downtown Milwaukee hotel, a man identified as Devontae Mitchell was pinned down by security guards outside the Hyatt Regency. Mitchell did eventually die.
Watching that video, it reminds me of George Floyd.
You would think in 2024 that we would be up beyond this.
And the 2-2 pitch.
I guess he'll be happy when he comes to.
These are the recent draft picks for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Where do you think your the biggest adjustment's going to be?
Yeah. Weather. Just immediately weather.
No, it's going to be cold.
Have you experienced snow before?
No.
No. Have you?
Never.
Never.
Never in my life.
I ain't seen no snow.
It is snowing and it sucks.
State Representative Lakeisha Myers and Dora Drake running to finish the term for former State Senator Lena Taylor.
Police removed some election observers from the Bavarian Beer House and Good Hope Elementary School polling locations.
These are known actors who are instigators who want to cause problems, and I think we're going to see a lot more of these come November.
The Dodge County Sheriff's Office says their investigation into the disappearance of Crystal Roche is no longer a missing persons case. It is officially a death investigation.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled to reinstate the use of most ballot drop boxes across the state.
The 4-3 ruling along ideological lines overturns a decision the court made in 2022 that banned the use of most of the boxes.
America, America.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separation and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. It's a fairly good start.
I'm sorry, what? I was dozed off.
Okay. No.
Thanks for spending a couple hours with us on our Salute to Service special, meeting the great, great honorees of the 2024 class.
What a week.
I ain't seen no snow.
Take care and goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
See, now, I was rather moved when Vince read the Declaration of Independence. I'm all in on that one. All right, the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. If you are a small business person, we've got some warnings for you. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. You know, it's difficult to be a small business person, and it really can get even more difficult, especially if you're getting notices from the government telling you that you owe money. Well, they're not always legitimate. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Michelle Reinen, our consumer expert from DATCAP. And you've been getting a lot of these complaints in the last couple months, Michelle.
Yeah, we've received several reports of mail solicitations being sent to Wisconsin business owners, typically small business owners, that look like invoices or even tax documents and claim to require payment for things like labor posters, annual reports, articles of incorporation, and those other beneficial ownership documents and information. The amount that these solicitations request is often significantly higher than the real filing fees that you would have to pay in order to obtain the documents directly from the agency.
So what do you do if you get one of these invoices that looks official and you're not sure if it's actually legitimate?
Yeah, the first thing is to hit the pause button. Check things out. Try to remember that business owners can get federal documents related to their business filings without fees typically, and that all state documents can be acquired through the websites of their respective agencies or by contacting them. So that's the first step. Check it out with that appropriate agency to see if you even have to have a copy of that document. And if so, how do you obtain it directly from the agency, whether in response to this postcard or mailing that you've received?
And what do you do if you have employees who are in charge of things like that and they're the ones who are getting these invoices? What do you need to instruct them to do?
Well, first, try and train. You know, have internal controls and verification processes for paying invoices that can prevent your business from falling victim to these scams. If you train the employees to review the invoices thoroughly before authorizing payment and look at those internal controls, then they'll know to question any invoice that doesn't look familiar or that asks for more money than if you just do it yourself with the agency.
And finally, if you're in doubt or if you think you've been scammed, who do we call?
Please contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
It's 8:45. Coming up in just 1 minute, it's Mark Court and Sports on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ Sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
2-2 pitch. Fly ball, center field. This is deep. Outman back at the track. Bye-bye baseball! Christian Yelich ties it up in the eighth with a solo shot out to center.
And that's the last we would hear from the Brewers. They fell to the Dodgers yesterday, 5-3. They get back on the field at the third of three games today in L.A. Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio begins at 2 o'clock here on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot. It's 8:47 coming up in just a couple minutes. Matt Miller is going to be joining us, and he has final thoughts about Summerfest. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. We're starting out with a beautiful morning, sunny and just perfect temperatures, but we are expecting some scattered rain and storms later on today. We're only going to get up to about 80 degrees, and tonight more showers and storms, mostly cloudy and a high of 67, and tomorrow more of the same. We're going to have 80 degrees for a high, but we've got a chance of some scattered showers and storms under mostly cloudy skies. Currently in River Hills, we've got 70 degrees. Pewaukee's at 70. St. Francis has 72, and we have 71 degrees at WTMJ at 850. And we've got Matt Miller here from, of course, onmilwaukee.com. He's their media critic and pop culture editor. You've been going to Summerfest for, what, 20 years? Longer?
Yes. Working-wise, I've been going to Summerfest for a decade now.
How does it change in terms of the vibe on the grounds where we're now doing just three-day weekends versus when it was a straight 10 days through?
Yeah, I think for me personally, I love it because I'm not beaten to death by day 9 and 10 from going to every show and writing up reviews the next day. So
they did this just for you, Matt.
They did, and you know what? I appreciate it. Summerfest, you're doing wonderful. But I do think it is an interesting vibe because Summerfest is trying to figure out how to make the most of those 9 days as well. They're putting a lot more kind of notable acts in the 4 and 6 o'clock hours so that way you get people who were there a little bit earlier. I also think they're doing a good job of bringing in younger audiences with the Aurora Pavilion and kind of turning Summerfest into kind of an electronic dance club as the night goes along. Because at the end of the nights, you're seeing people gather right there, and that's kind of how people end their nights now. So I think that's really cool as well. But I do think, you know, people always talk about, you know, oh, I liked going on Tuesdays because Tuesdays were slow days and stuff like that. And I think you still get a little bit of that kind of older, more people just kind of enjoying the lakefront and enjoying the vibes during the early day. And then that transitions at night to kind of the more concert festival, music festival vibes of the kind of Summerfest, the younger vibes.
How do you rate the food this year?
I think it's great. I mean, you've got a top chef on the grounds this year. You always have the Sazza sampler platter, which is it even Summerfest if you don't have a sampler platter from Sazza's. I think their drink selection has gotten a lot more vast as well. They're no longer just, you know, beer and, you know, maybe the occasional, you know, seltzer or something like that. They've got a lot of different kind of drinks. They've got a lot of different NA options. I think they've done a really good job of kind of diversifying their beverage lineup on the, obviously not compared to like State Fair where you can find anything deep fried on a stick. Obviously State Fair still has Summerfest beat in terms of the wild eclecticness of food. But I think you can eat now at Summerfest and not feel like you're just getting, you know, festival food. You're getting really good festival food now at this point.
Okay, so you'd give this, if we're doing an A through F rating, what rating do you give Summerfest 2024?
As of right now, I give it a solid B+. I've had a really good time. Maybe it doesn't have the big kind of viral, big name, kind of hip acts that kind of break Summerfest and stuff like that. Your Imagine Dragons from several years ago, your Noah Kahn's last year. But I think it's been a really good year for entertaining shows. And for discovery, I think if you just wanted to go down there and walk around and see what music was good, I think you found a lot of really good music kind of at random. And I think that can be part of the fun of a festival. Yes, you can have your Lollas and your Bonnaroos and your Coachellas where, you know, every single second is filled with a top 40 or a massive viral TikTok star. But I think Summerfest really does you know, do a good job of balancing, you know, we've got something for families. We got something for younger audiences. We got something for your parents. We've got something for, you know, people who just want to come down and enjoy the lakefront. They really do try to balance everything. And I think this year is still achieving that.
And Matt, it's over. It's back to watching movies. So tell us about the summer box office so far.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. It's finally cooking now. It got to a slow start with The Fall Guy and Furiosa being good movies, but not doing great at the box office. But now you've had a lot of hits. You've had Bad Boys, Ride or Die making money and being a very fun sequel. Inside Out 2 is already made $1 billion. It is a smash hit right now. Really did a good job of playing to older audiences and younger audiences. I think Despicable Me 4 this weekend is going to play similarly in that, you know, that's a big cross-generational hit, a movie that young audiences love as their franchise, not a hand-me-down like, you know, Indiana Jones or some of these other kind of rehashes that have underperformed in recent years. And it's nice to see stuff like A Quiet Place Day One be a really good movie, you know, clearly a movie made by a director with vision and with an idea for that, not just a journeyman, but still delivering the scares that you want. And that movie's doing well as well. And obviously we've got Deadpool and Wolverine to end the month. That's going to be maybe another $1 billion grosser.
I was going to say, that looks like that is going to really be the movie of the summer.
Yeah, in part because, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, beloved characters, but also it's been a while since we've had a comic book movie, which is kind of silly to say. It's probably been less than half a year, but by recent Hollywood standards, that's quite a while. So I think people are going to be excited to see something like that again on the big screen. And I also am really bullish on Twisters being a hit this summer. I think every time that trailer shows, when I'm at the theaters, the audience has a little pop. I think those disaster movies on the big screen are really fun and the kind of reason people want to go to movies to see something big and scary and crazy. You've got Glenn Powell, an up-and-coming star in that. I think Twisters is going to be another surprise hit. So, you know, it was all doom and gloom 2 months ago from the box office trades, being like, oh, are people going to movies anymore? Is streaming the only answer? The answer is no. People want to see movies. They just need to be convinced that there's good movies to see. And right now, there's some interesting stuff out there to see.
Well, Matt Miller, it is always great to hear from you. And, of course, we can follow your columns at onmilwaukee.com. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:57, and coming up after the news with Jessica, I did have the opportunity this week to talk with independent presidential candidate RFK Jr., and we're going to play a couple excerpts from that. We're going to play the entire interview next Sunday on Conversations, but we'll share a little bit with you. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And welcome back to Hour 2. A little bit later on, we're going to be talking with the head of Bastille Days about what's happening this week. Kind of exciting. A lot of people, Jessica, of course, on Friday were wondering how President Biden was going to do with his appearance in Madison. And there's still mixed reviews about that. And, of course, that's where they recorded the conversation he had with George Stephanopoulos, and that's still being dissected and debated as well as far as how he did. But I found this kind of interesting because about the same time they came out and they said there was a radio host here in Wisconsin who had done an interview with President Biden, and it came out yesterday. He told ABC News, this Earl Ingram, that he was given questions to ask the president. Now, I don't think that George Stephanopoulos would have taken questions and said, yes, I'll ask that. I think he asked his own questions. But I just found that very interesting.
Right. And I think Biden's team, well, they said they were suggested questions. But then I think Earl Ingram also said, well, he didn't feel like he got to ask everything he wanted to. And then I believe it also said Biden's team afterwards said they would not be providing suggested questions in future interviews. So I'm assuming that also did apply to the George Stephanopoulos interview as far as stopping those suggested questions.
And you wonder how many more interviews he's going to do, too.
That's true. We've got a long ways to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And of course, Donald Trump wisely at this point isn't talking to anybody. I mean, if I were in his position, I wouldn't either. I would just stay quiet and stay back. But there is one other candidate, and that's RFK Jr. And no, I didn't talk to President Biden. I didn't talk to former President Trump. But I did get to talk to RFK Jr. this past week. And we're going to be playing that whole interview next Sunday on WTMJ Conversations. But I asked him a couple things, including if he's really going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. Will you be on the ballot in all 50 states, including Wisconsin?
Yes, I will be. We started, Wisconsin was a late opener, and it just started this week. And we've been, I think yesterday was the first day, and we've been on the ground there, and we will have all of our signatures. We are already have enough signatures to get on the ballot in more than half the states. And by the end of this month, we will have enough signatures to get on the ballot in every state.
And, of course, I also asked him his opinion of President Biden's performance at the debate last week. And he brought up something else that a lot of people aren't talking about. Robert, we've all had a couple days to absorb what happened with the debate last week. As you're looking back, who do you think is running this country?
I don't know. You know, I had misgivings about that beforehand because I've known President Biden for 40 years, and he's always been a decent man and a good friend. And I don't want to make this personal because this is a minor issue compared to the other crises our country is going through. But his decision to deny me Secret Service protection during this campaign was uncharacteristic and inconsistent with anything that I do. I mean, even if he understood that I was his adversary, you know, when my uncle Ted Kennedy ran against Jimmy Carter, they were sworn enemies in 1980. And Carter gave him Secret Service protection 540 days out as soon as he started talking about announcing. And President Biden has a bust of my father behind him at the Oval Office. He knows what happened to my father. He knows I'm entitled to the Secret Service protection. I'm the first candidate in history that has, since my father's death, when they first gave Secret Service protection to all the presidential candidates, I'm the first one to ask for it and to be denied. So, and it always occurred to me that, you know, maybe President Biden is not making these decisions. And I've had family members who've talked to the president about it, and those discussions seem to go nowhere. So it occurred to me then that the decision making at the White House over important issues may not be with the president. And I think after the debate performance last week, I think a lot of Americans are having the same misgivings.
You know, the interesting thing about that is looking at the landscape of politics today versus what they were in October of 2023 when RFK said, no, I'm not going to run as a Democrat in the primaries. I'm going to run independently. You have to wonder if, as he looks back, if he regrets that decision. Originally, you filed to run in the Democratic primary. In light of all of this, are you regretting that decision?
No, because the Democratic primaries were rigged by the DNC. The way that the delegates were selected, I would have had to win between 70 and 80% of the delegates to win the nomination, and that was just mathematically impossible. And then when I started looking like my performance was strong, they began canceling primaries. So there were some 60 different rule changes that they initiated to make sure that nobody could challenge this president. You know, I'll give you an example of one of them. I was campaigning in New Hampshire very early, and they adopted a new rule have said that any candidate who stepped into the state of New Hampshire following, you know, to pursue a presidential nomination, that any vote cast for them in that primary would count for President Biden. So even if I won 100% of the vote in New Hampshire, all of my delegates would have gone to President Biden. And that's just one of many, many of these really crazy policies that the DNC adopted in order to keep any adversary from challenging this president. It was really like the old Soviet system where, you know, they have elections in the Soviet Union. They have them in Iran. They have them in, you know, Vladimir Putin runs them in Russia today. He just won 88% of the vote because his adversaries aren't allowed on the ballot and because the press is controlled. Well, as it turns out, we're doing the same thing in this country.
We are going to have that entire conversation with RFK Jr. next Sunday on WTMJ Conversations. We get into a lot of different things, including his relationship with his family, which, you know, I mean, if you've ever read anything about the Kennedy family, first of all, it's vast. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. But, you know, there's a question as to whether or not and why his family is not supporting him. And we talk about that as well as his dad and a lot of other things. That's going to be next Sunday on WTMJ Conversations. I'm Libby Collins. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got sports with Mark Hort. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk.
2-2 pitch. Fly ball, center field. This is deep. Outman back at the track. Bye-bye baseball! Christian Yelich ties it up in the eighth with a solo shot out to center.
And unfortunately, that was not going to help the Brewers too much. They fell to the Dodgers yesterday 5-3. They get back on the field for the third of three games today in L.A. Brewers warm up with Dominic Catronio starts at 2 o'clock on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Nice job on sports, Marquardt. Now get back to pushing buttons, Isaac. It's 9:17. Started out pretty nice. We had lots of sunshine, but be careful. There's liable to be some scattered rain and storms later on today. We're going to get up to about 80 degrees. Then tonight, a chance of showers and storms, mostly cloudy, 67 for your high. Tomorrow looks like more of the same. Scattered showers and storms, cloudy, 80 degrees on Tuesday. This is just repetitious, isn't it? On Tuesday, more isolated showers and storms. Temperatures cool off just a little bit, 78. Wednesday looks like we've got 76 and more of the same, a chance of some showers. But guess what? Thursday, they're telling us it's going to be mostly sunny and a high of 78 degrees. Temperatures are really quite mild this morning. In Elkhart Lake, we have 71 degrees. Muskego, 73. Lake Geneva, 73. And we have 71 degrees at 921 on WTMJ.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
Welcome to the Sunday Sip. I am John Merck here, joined by my friend John Everett, Road America, Elkhart Lakes Road America's Communication Director. John, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
John, thanks for having me as always. We always love doing these. Wonderful.
I love Road America. It's one of the very special places in the state of Wisconsin. So let's start with an overview. For people who aren't that familiar, tell us what makes Road America so special.
In its simplest form, it's 4 miles and 14 turns of awesomeness. It's called America's National Park of Speed for a reason, because once you come through the gate, you're not dedicated to a seat. You can move around the facility, watch from all sorts of different locations. We even have the Mission Foods, Too Fast, Too Tasty Beach. So we like to say you can sit under a shade tree, put your feet in green grass, and watch some world-class racing. But now you can also sit at the beach and actually watch some world-class racing. We've even got a taco truck over there, too. So you don't have to stray very far from your favorite seating location and your favorite turn for clean restrooms and amazing concessions.
I love it. There's so much to do there. It's not just the racing. We're going to get into that in a second. But we never really spend enough time talking about, we talk about what a cool place it is, but what a big a deal it is for the economy. Road America injects a ton of money into the local economy, don't they?
Yeah, we're very proud of that. As a matter of fact, in 2023, we earned an Economic Driver Award from the Sheboygan County Economic Development Corporation. And a lot of people don't know this, but around $254 million annually helps boost Sheboygan County's economy, but over $400 million for the state economy. So we're super proud that we're creating jobs, we're keeping money here in the state and also Sheboygan County, and also having a great time showing people from all over the world what Wisconsin means and how Wisconsin's a great entertainment location.
Road America's John Everett with us on the Sunday Sip. Let's talk about the racing a little bit. Just when you think it can't get any better up there at Road America, there are new prime viewing spots. You mentioned the beach. Tell us about some of the other cool spots to check out the racing.
Well, we're super proud that we're always investing funds back into the facility. So we'd like to tell people that definitely get your tickets early at roadamerica.com and come check out all sorts of great viewing locations. We have the Bluffs at Turn 11. The new Mission Too Fast, Too Tasty Beach. Mm-hmm. We also have a trail going down to Turn 12, which makes it easier for golf carts and for people walking that love to watch in Turn 12. So there's lots of elevated viewing locations. There's lots of trackside viewing locations. There's lots of turns and unique hillsides to, you know, pitch a tent or put your chair out there, your canopy, and sit in the shade with your cooler and watch some incredible racing and let the kids play in the grass. There's also disc golf. There's also go-karting at the Briggs & Stratton Motorplex. There's also the wonderful paddock shop where people can get souvenirs, jackets, hats, and various things of the like. So there's always something to see and do and move around when you're here, and that's what people really love about it.
You alluded to the food a little bit earlier. Tell us about the variety of food options there at Road America.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, it's always fun to hear fans and racers wanting to come here because of the food. We're very lucky that we have a lot of local organizations that run concession stands here. So you can get everything from your classic Wisconsin brat to deep fried cheese curds, but also truffle mac and cheese, roasted chicken, walking tacos. I even had a scone stuffer in it for people who don't know what that is. That's a baked potato stuffed with cheese curds, bacon, macaroni and cheese, pulled pork, you name it, all inside of a baked potato. So if you're used to like kind of things you only see maybe at the state fair, we've got it all summer long here at Road America.
What about the beverage selection, John?
Every kind of beverage you can kind of imagine, you know, from mixed cocktails to favorite adult beverages to diet sodas and things of the like. Homemade lemonade, as a matter of fact, here is a popular fan favorite, plus also lots of wonderful Pepsi products. So you're always looking for something to cool yourself off or give yourself something to kick back with. We've got that at any one of our 14 concession stands as well.
John, people like to get up close and personal with the racers. Are there the opportunities for autograph sessions or other events that the racers are involved in?
Absolutely. We're very fortunate that our paddock is always open for major events. So when you think about people who are shutterbugs with their phones, their smartphones, they can get up and close and personal to the teams and also autograph sessions and meet the drivers, learn about the cars, learn about the motorcycles while you're here, move about the paddock, find your favorites, and really get to see all of the action up close in the paddock and pit area. So we encourage people to put on some comfortable walking shoes, get ready to cruise through the paddock, find your favorite drivers, get some autographs, and just enjoy the day.
Road America's John Everett with us for a couple of more minutes here on the Sunday Sip. Tell me about the 4 Miles of Fitness program.
Well, we're very proud of that as well, because what's great is that a lot of people love to exercise or get out with their families, whether it be strollers or bicycles with training wheels, things like that. But, you know, streets and sidewalks are sometimes tough and difficult in neighborhoods. So we have every Monday and Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. You can walk, bike, or run the facility for only $5. And it's a great way for families to come. We have a lot of cycling groups that love to come host their own little sprint races. So if you're a cyclist and you want to ride with friends and you don't want to have to worry about trucks or cars, you can definitely come do that at Road America as well. So everything from mountain bikes to strollers and everything can be on track from 6 to 8 p.m. Great way to get your exercise on a wonderful, sunny, warm evening and enjoy time with family and friends.
Yeah, that time with family and friends at some absolutely stunning grounds. Right, we're going to give out the website in a second, but first, tell us about the Road America app. That's a great way to stay connected.
We always encourage people to either go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Store and download the Road America app, because not only can you get event schedules, but you can figure out concessions, you can figure out campsites, you can figure out what's going on for the weekend and learn how to navigate around the facility. So we encourage people to check that out, look at the fan schedules, look at the Good Times Guide, and then you can get ready and come on up here and enjoy a weekend, enjoy 4 Miles of Fitness, or enjoy a sunset cruise with family and friends. There's all sorts of things to see and do.
The app has live cameras, interactive maps. The website also has a lot of this great stuff. John, what is the website if people want to check out more information about Road America?
Super simple, roadamerica.com. It's a great way to go on there, surf around, figure out what you want to do with your family and friends for the weekend. As I've said before, kids 16 and under get in free, so it's very affordable for families. All mom and dad have to do is buy a ticket. Tickets can start sometimes as low as $25. So we just tell people go to roadamerica.com, pick the weekend, pick the day, look at our event calendar, and figure out what you want to do. And then you can click your tickets and print them at home and breeze right through the gate with a quick scan and just enjoy the wonderful grounds here at America's National Park of Speed.
It is such a great website. It's such a great gem in our state. It is Elkhart Lakes Road America. Make a weekend out of it with your family. John Everett, Communication Director there at Elkhart Lakes Road America. Thanks for being with us on the Sunday Sip, John.
Thank you, John, as always, and we look forward to seeing everybody here all summer.
It is 9:29, and coming up, we've got Jess in the newsroom. And then after that, if you're looking for even more things to do this week, Bastille Days gets underway on Thursday. We'll tell you all about it on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Well, we look forward to it every year. And that's Bastille Days right here in Milwaukee. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Anne LaPlay. She is the Executive Director at Alliance Française, which apparently has been educating local residents on everything French for over 100 years. And bonjour, Anne.
Bonjour. Thank you for calling.
That's about all I know. But 100 years, Alliance Française has really been delving deep into French culture?
Yes, we've been here since 1918. So since the last pandemic, which is an interesting sort of circle of events.
Well, this year, Bastille Days gets underway on Thursday. And tell us a little bit about what to expect this year.
Well, we're bringing back all the favorites, the 5K run on Thursday night, the Eiffel Tower, and, of course, the wonderful beignets. There's fantastic food. We do the beignets, but there's also Lake Park Bistro, Lagniappe, Emmy's African food, Lake Park, and Crawdaddy's. So there'll be over 25 food vendors and a lot of marketplace. French items, and just it's going to be so much fun, and the entertainment on five stages during the whole 4 days. It's going to be a nonstop party.
And I know that you have a lot of groups that aren't necessarily French. You've got the can-can dancers and some French acts, but you've got some other ones too.
Right, there's the Extra Crispy Brass Band that's coming, that's going to launch the race and is playing just about every day. Our good friend Kevin Soucy has a French chanson. You mentioned the can-can dancers and some New Orleans music. It is definitely going to be just really fun, kind of danceable music just to make a really fun party.
Oh, I see you've got Ben Milwano, who we featured on WTMJ Conversations a while back. He's going to be one of the performers as well. So it's a good variety. Now, here's what a lot of people are wondering. Next Sunday is the start of the RNC. Cathedral Square Park is right there in the center of where some of that security zone is. Is that going to affect anything on your end?
No, the security zone is actually starting a little bit west of Bastille Days, so it starts at about the river, so it shouldn't affect the event. I do think it might affect parking and, mm-hmm. you know, driving around, but as far as the event is concerned, it'll have the benefit of having a few more people at the party, so we're super excited about it.
What would you suggest in terms of parking and getting there? Because obviously, there I think they started at 5 a.m. on Sunday as far as the soft zone and the hard zone and all of that. Do you have any recommendations?
Yes. So Easttown suggests visiting secureparkingusa.com just to get
ideas for parking, but we also, you know, recommend that people come either by public transportation, the hop, maybe by bike, you know, just to plan ahead, because parking will be, it's always an issue. It's an issue because of the run, just because it's a popular downtown festival. But if you plan ahead, you'll be fine.
And obviously, you've got the RNC delegates who are going to be arriving next weekend. Are you planning anything special to welcome them to Milwaukee?
I think we just plan on having the best event possible, making the best beignets and making maybe a few extras. We just want to, you know, encourage all the visitors, both the delegates and all the media and everyone that's coming around to see how wonderful Milwaukee is, and our festival tradition is fantastic. Bastille Days in Milwaukee is the biggest Bastille celebration in North America, bigger than New York, Chicago, and anywhere in Canada. So we're really proud of what we do and excited to show it to out-of-towners.
Is there a large French community in the city in southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but the first mayor of Milwaukee, Solomon Juneau, was a Frenchman from Canada. We have a very deep French history. There's a lot of French names on the map. There's not a huge French population, but there's a growing Francophone population. So French people from obviously France, Canada, but also from African countries that speak French, Haiti, the Caribbean, et cetera. So we're seeing a growing population of people who speak French, but not who are not necessarily from France.
Well, I think a lot of people are looking forward to Bastille Days, one of the most fun events in Milwaukee during the summer. Anne LaPlay from Alliance Française, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking with you.
It's 9:41. Coming up next, what do we have on WTMJ Conversations? Well, if you come from a family who either you've adopted someone into the family or maybe you're an adoptee yourself, you're going to find our conversation today fascinating. We'll tell you all about it right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. 9:44. It's difficult to grasp that anxiety that adoptees face during their search for their birth parents. And Diana Higginbotham and Anastopoulos talked to me about the shock she experienced when the agency told her they found her birth mother. Were you able to find out immediately who your parents were?
No. At the age of 18, at that time, I was only allowed non-identifying information.
What does that mean?
That means they would give you everything in the file, but anything that would identify the parents, they would white out.
That had to be frustrating.
It was. Then at 21, you can go through the same process, but now you can request to meet them. And of course, I had some questions. So after seeing all the good stories and happy reunions, you know, the talk show circuits back in the day, I was like ready for my happy ending. Nothing could ever have prepared me for when they called me back within a few days. They found her relatively quick. And when they had said, she doesn't want to meet you, and I just honestly couldn't believe it.
Diana's story is told in the award-winning documentary, Love Differently. And she's spoken before the state legislature about her problems finding her birth parents. It is a riveting story, and we're going to have it for you this morning at 11 on WTMJ Conversations. It's sunny right now, but expect maybe some scattered showers throughout the day. 70, we're going to have 80 degrees for a high. It is 72 at WTMJ at 9:45, and coming up in just a minute, it's Mark Court and Sports on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk.
2-2 pitch. Fly ball, center field. This is deep. Outman back at the track. Bye-bye baseball! Christian Yelich ties it up in the eighth with a solo shot out to center.
And that was as good as it was going to get for the Brewers last night. They fell to the Dodgers 5-3. They'll be back on the field for the third of three games today in L.A. And our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up with Dominic Catronio at 2 o'clock on WTMJ. I'm Isaac Marquardt, WTMJ Sports.
Thank you so much, Marquardt. Great job on sports. Let's see. Coming up, you know what? If you missed the lakefront fireworks the other night, you know, I think a lot of us were sad that didn't happen this year. This week, you can see something else on the lakefront, and it's a drone show. We're going to tell you where and what it's all about. It's all coming up on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, 9:48, and we have 73 degrees at WTMJ. Well, it started out sunny this morning, but it's going to get a little cloudy in some areas. We're even starting to see a little bit of that scattered rain that you'll see throughout the day. We're going to get up to about 80 degrees in tonight. Another chance of showers and storms. It's going to be cloudy down to 67. Tomorrow, more of the same with those chances of some rain and a high of 80. Tuesday, we've got isolated showers and storms, partly cloudy, and a high of 78. Right now in Oak Creek, it's 75 degrees. Cedarburg has 73, New Berlin's at 74, and we have 73 degrees at WTMJ at 9:51. I love spotlighting places that we don't think about on a regular basis. And joining us today is Jamie Harvey Wilms. She is the executive director of the Charles Allison Villa Terrace Museum. And that's not on everybody's radar, is it?
You know, I don't think so. We're also a really, really unique nonprofit. We're one nonprofit with two museums. And that's not really a common thing, you know, amongst museums. Typically, they're kind of on their own. But Milwaukee has been supporting both of these institutions, one of them since 1945 and the Villa since 1966.
What makes them special?
Oh, gosh, everything. The Charles Allis Art Museum is fascinating because the house was actually built as a museum, even while the Allises lived there. And so Charles died in 1917, and Sarah went on to live like about another 20 to 30 years, and she continued to collect and fill the house with these incredible art historical pieces. We have a Rembrandt etching. We have one of Napoleon's death masks. It's shocking, and I would argue that Allis is one of those cultural gems that's a really good hidden secret. The Villa Terrace, on the other hand, was built by the Smith family and really is that kind of breath of fresh air getaway experience on the lakeside. If you don't have a mansion in Milwaukee, guess what, taxpayers? Now you do. Come and visit the Villa.
All right. Now, when is this open to the public?
We are open to the public Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday and Thursday, we are open 10 to 5. And then on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 2.
And what else can we see there?
We do some pretty incredible exhibitions. So today we have a rug hooking survey or retrospective of the work of Emmy Robertson, who's a Milwaukee-based rug hooker, and she does these rugs that almost look like paintings. They have personal narratives. Some of them have really strong themes of feminism and identity and storytelling. And those exhibitions, like Emmy's, rotate all the time. We also have an artist in residence, and so Celeste Contreras has an exhibition opening up here at the end of June. And then we have some pretty spectacular permanent collections. So you get to a little bit of house museum, but you also get some contemporary art and decorative art at the Villa.
What's your favorite part of it?
Oh, you know what? I think that my own favorite part, and it's the thing that even today kind of took my breath away, is that lakefront. You walk through our doors and suddenly you can't see a skyscraper, even though there is one just a few blocks away. You're transported to Italy and Lake Michigan suddenly looks like the Mediterranean and you're not quite sure where you are exactly. So I think it's that water to building experience that just takes your breath away.
We're talking with Jamie Harvey Wilms, the executive director of the Charles Allison Villa Terrace Museums. Villa Terrace is going to be having some events coming up here in July.
Yeah, you know what? We're 100 years old. So this Italian Renaissance style house was completed in 1924. So we are celebrating our 100th year this year. And so we're doing 100 events in our 100th year, which includes free yoga every Sunday, a Sunday concert series that's also free and open to the public. And then our Friends Group, which is an incredible group of volunteers that cares for our gardens. They're throwing a gala on July 13th. 13th, and it's going to be, for lack of a better term, a banger. It should be it should be super fun. Music, incredible food, some pretty fun fashion, I think. And then if we work our way backwards, we have an artist day on July 11th, and we are actually giving a gift to Milwaukee in the form of Milwaukee's second drone show. It should be able to light up the entire lakefront with, I think it's 300 drones.
Tell us about that. Now, that's going to be on the evening of July 10th?
Yes. So at the villa, there'll be some premium seating because the drone show will be centered on the villa, although I believe you'll be able to see it from most of the lakefront. And so we're throwing a glow-in-the-dark party, our friends group is, and it should be a super great time for family and friends. There'll be a bar set up and I believe some food trucks. And then the drone show itself has been designed by Milwaukee artist Ray Chi, and it's just going to light up the sky with themes of the Villa Terrace's 100 years, as well as a little bit of Milwaukee.
Now, how can you get tickets for that? Because I know there is a charge.
Yes, you can go to the Friends of Villa Terrace's website, and if you just Google Friends of Villa Terrace or Villa Terrace, it'll come up, and you can get your tickets that way.
And I know we don't want this to happen, but if it rains on the 10th, there is a rain day.
There is a rain day. I believe it's actually the next night, which is the 11th. It won't rain, right, though?
No. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. It's not going to rain.
So, Jamie, if anybody wants to learn more about the Villa Terrace Art Museum and, of course, the Alice House, how can they do it and find out about some of the events? And also, I know that you host a lot of private events as well.
Oh, my gosh. We do so much. You can visit CAVT, C-A-V as in Victor, or Villa, T, museums.org. And our websites for both museums will have a ton of information on history as well as current events. Also, follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We create events and fun graphics and give you some behind the scenes on all of those social media accounts.
And happy 100th anniversary.
You know what? I haven't been around the whole time, but I'll take it. Thank you.
It is going to be a fun week around Milwaukee between Bastille Days, the Lake Villa Terrace, a drone show. I mean, if you're close to that area, that's going to be pretty cool. Hopefully it won't rain on Wednesday. But you know what? We've got sunshine on Thursday, so you should be okay. Coming up, we've got a lot going on today. Right after the news, it's Brian and David Wickard on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. You know, those job numbers came out this week. How's it going to affect your chance to buy or sell your home? They're going to talk about that. Also, I'll be back at 11 with our conversation with a woman whose search for her birth parents. It's just, it's unbelievable what she went through, and she's going to tell about it. And as a matter of fact, they've got a documentary called Love Differently that was put together about her story. So you'll want to hear that. And then at 2 o'clock, it's Brewers Warm-Up with Dominic Catronio. It's all ahead on WTMJ.